listening to The Lance Gerv Show, the boldest spot on internet radio.
People are so depressed within and just bored out of their minds.
Yeah.
Because they're not pursuing anything they like.
That's
you know
the
what
thing.
I mean? And
movement.
Then they get mad at you for you doing it, and they want to talk noise. And as soon as they do it, I'm like, because I like to do it.
They will do what they can do to stop you from pursuing it.
Yep.
And then when you don't, if you're a fool and don't do it, they're going to turn around and say, oh, you could have done this and you should have done that. They are time wasters. And this is why you don't get around anybody that is not pursuing a dream. If you can't tell me what your dream, even if you kind of don't know, but you're moving to, I want to try something. I want to do something. There are periods in your life when you're overwhelmed with so many options. You can't say exactly what it is. I'm a late bloomer. I've had so many different diverse experiences and I couldn't figure out what my passion was, but now I kind of know what it is. And there's still new things that I don't even realize. But if you can't tell me that you're enthusiastic about something, learning something, going somewhere, meeting somebody who's doing something or get excited about something, then I don't need to be around you because you're dead weight. Because you know what? Even with me, I will step out of what I do. And I'll say, you know what? I'm going to reach out. I'm going to look at this particular meetup group, and I want to go there and just check out what it's all about. I do a lot of that online. I research stuff. I talk to people. I see them online, and I reach out. What's that like? What is that all about? What is that business all about? Or just that passion you do, and you could see it.
Mm-hmm.
See, doesn't matter what the manifestation is. It's the having the passion for something. And if you don't have
really,
it,
And chasing passion leads to so many great things. Like, you know, a couple of years ago when I really got started falling deeper into theater and into film and script writing and everything else, I didn't know really where it was going to take me. But, like, some of the experiences that I'm getting to have, like, I just got invited to this elite, like, ball dance thing that's going to be happening later this week because I'm a part of this theater festival.
Right.
Like I'm directing a play that's coming out like next month.
Beautiful.
And I didn't even know this was a part of the deal. I was just like, oh my God, I want to direct this play. It's really awesome. I love the script.
Exactly.
That was my whole passion. My focus was on that. Now I get to go to this really awesome like formal event that I didn't even know was a part of the deal, but I get to do it now.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And if I had been focusing on going toward things that led to formal events and like whatever else, I would have never got to it.
That's right.
I would have been running after the wrong thing.
You're right. People see your passion, and you may not understand it or see it because you're so caught up in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But day in and day out, they see it, and you are a thought leader. You make things happen creatively, and then I think
when people see us doing these things, there's certain people who will be inspired.
Yeah, yeah. But the other ones
will
get envious.
I'm sure you've seen it in your life, because I know I've seen it in my life. There's certain people that are like, oh, I saw you doing such and such. I think I'm going to try this. And then I encourage them, you know?
I do. But then you have those who you encourage them, and they say they want to do something, and they want to sit down as dead weight and have you pull them. They want to use your energy for their dreams.
I don't do that.
Yeah, no, I don't do it. Once I detect that, you're not getting a free ride. But you know what? I'll carry you on my back for miles and miles. For free, I know that's what you really, if you really about it, because your spirit is making me strong to do that. But if you just sit there, you know, like a little kid in Walmart who's screaming and crying because they didn't get that toy, and now you got to drag me out. No, I'm not dragging you. You're going to have to walk on your own.
You know, this reminds me of something recently, because somebody had hit me up saying that there was some girl who wanted to do an event with, I can't remember what in mind exactly, something in particular. And he inboxed me and said, can you hit her up and y'all talk about it? I haven't hit her up because that's not for me to do. She wants to reach out and get advice. That's cool. But I am not. No, that's not how I work.
Right, right.
If you are really motivated, obviously she know how to reach me on Facebook because that's the medium he used to reach out to me, even though he has my number. So why not just tell her to hit me up? Because no, that's not how I work.
I haven't.
If she really wants to make it happen, she needs to be the one to set the stuff in motion. I can tell her what she should do, but I'm not doing it for her.
Right, right. I mean, there are opportunities that came to me. You think I'm going to not seize the moment?
Exactly.
You know, to talk to someone, or things have dropped in my lap by chance, wonderful, phenomenal things. and you have to be ready. It's like being a fireman, you know? And you know, when we talk to each other, say, hey, okay, we're going to do something later on. Weeks can go by, and I know you're doing your thing, and I'm doing my thing, and you can always reach out to me, and I can always reach out to you, because we know that we're doing the damn thing. And so, look, there's that respect. Okay, when I get in, we're going to do this, you know?
Yep.
It's some people, look, and you want to see that hunger. You know, I love to see that hunger. And I'm not saying I'm some big mogul. I'm just a regular guy. I'm trying to get it too. But you want to see that hunger. Like, wow, you're hungry. That makes me more hungry, because now I want to maintain more hunger than you have. I don't want to sit here complacent like, okay, I'm the man. No, I'm not the man. I'm on the lowest rung. I'm striving. I want to dig deeper in my soul and make it come out and happen.
This reminds me of, like, all the way back to, like, the 19th century. Even in Shakespeare's day, we could safely say not a damn person prior to the 1950s could really say that they were wealthy from their art. You know how they have some actors and actresses that make millions and whatnot? That's wonderful. That's whatever. I don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
Because throughout time, the majority of people who follow their passions were not always wealthy. Even wealthy people, their passion was not for their business. If they had a passion, they took it somewhere else.
Right.
It reminds me of Benjamin Franklin, because he's a prime example of that, because that man was more wild than people realize. But his business was not what was exciting to him. It was all the other things that he partook in.
Right.
You know, Thomas Paine was another one. Thomas Paine actually paid for his publishing on the pamphlet Common Sense, all on his own.
Wow.
And he refused to make a profit. He said that whenever he started selling the pamphlets, if there was any profits, I'll have to look at what organization it was.
Right.
But he took every dime and put it back into the movement. That's where his focus was. So the reason I'm saying that is that I don't do this, what I do. I don't do it to make millions. I do it because it's just a part of my soul. And I feel happier whenever I'm able to do this. I feel that it was God-inspired. God was like, I sent you here. This is what your spirit knows what it was sent here for. And the only way your spirit is going to be at peace and happy is if you are fulfilling that purpose.
Mm.
That's just bottom line. That is just the way that it is. I think the reason why we have so many people with depression and anxiety is because they are not living their passion.
Yes.
Their spirit is uneasy as a result. And that's just the way that I live, because I don't, you know, will I make millions?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. None of us know that. I don't think any person who has ever gotten to a certain point with their film work ever anticipated it getting there. The people who I think are the most successful, like what's the name? Ben Affleck and his boy, Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what was going to happen. They were no better than anybody else in Hollywood at that time.
That's right.
They just so happened to fall on the right opportunity at the right moment, and they were open to it, and they ran with it. That's all that it was.
And they were already doing it before that happened.
They were already doing it.
So you have to be in position for that. You have to be in position.
Being open to it is what puts you in that position.
Intuitive,
you got to pursue it.
To what's going on in the atmosphere.
Yep.
Around
and the way
you.
I look at it is whether my stuff gets seen by 500 million people or only gets seen by 100 people, I'm perfectly content either way, because I produced it and whoever was meant to see it saw it.
Right. Now, see, that's the same way with me online. There's so many people who say, well, you can get more hits if you do this. It's not about hits. It's the engagement for me. When I get phone calls and text messages and communications from real people who are affected in some way, whether they got a good laugh or they learned something from somebody who came on the show, or they love one of my drawings or writings or articles, that's what does it for me. It's an extended reach. And it's human involvement. That's what it's all about. I was listening to someone on NPR last night, and I forgot his name, but this guy wrote books, and he wrote books in a special way, children's books, scary kind of children's books, but not to scare the daylights out of them, but something that kind of titillated them and got them to not look at the fear inside of them like a really bad thing. You know, so the interviewer had asked him and said, well, you know, for the Forbes list said that back in 95 and 96, you made $40 million, and the guy was so upset. He did make that amount of money, But he was like, oh, they're always counting my money. And he felt kind of blown up, you know, but he says, oh, they're counting my money. He said, but that's not it with me. The years I was doing this before any money came, this is not about money. I didn't want to have that even mentioned in this interview because people are going to think it's about money. You know, it's about the kids.
Wait, who was this person? Because I want to look this up now, because that to me means so much whenever somebody actually puts that out there and says, this is not about the money. This is about the message. This is about the passion for it. Because, you know, I think our society as a whole benefits so much more when people are allowed. So I really want this next generation to come up in that mindset that they are allowed to express themselves.
Yes.
The beauty of expression, rather than are you ever going to be a millionaire from it?
That strips it all out.
Yeah, there's so much freedom in that. There's so much freedom in just expressing just for the sake of expression.
Let me tell you, when I look back to the late 70s and early 80s, and I'm just using this as an example because this can go across any creative category. But when I look back at hip hop and being from New York City, and you know, it's all over the world and everything, but most people would agree that that had a lot to do with the beginnings of it. And when I think back to the guys who never made it, and we're not saying making it because they're making money, but they didn't follow through. They left it when it was just the two turntables and scratching and rhyming, and how the guys would make the tapes and sit up in their rooms, and groups of guys would. That's what I'm creating here at home in my own studio. When I have people come by and we're discussing topics, and I know that these are the golden ages for that next period. I know I'm in the golden age right now with this internet stuff, the talk shows and vibing with people. I know 20 years from now, it's not going to be as sweet as it is now. Possibly it will, if we control and maintain a certain thing, but I know that these are the good old days. Too many people look back in the past, all days are the good old days. How many times we would say that, and you look back on your life and you say, man, I was going through this and going through that at that time, but there was a sweetness to it all still. So no matter going through, you know, and people who have money, lots of times they say, well, you know, when we were struggling and living in that little one-room flat and didn't have much,
there was beauty in it.
There was a beauty in it. And so we have to understand that even now in this day and age, even when we so-called have it going on and we're making it a little better financially, it's not about that. I want that sweetness. I want that grassroots. I want that human engagement.
Well, you know, I think it goes like, no matter what station you are in life, no matter what status you may have, financially speaking, whatever else, you know, everybody in every part of the world has got something beautiful about their life and something, you know, and painful and challenging about their life.
Yes.
And it reminds me of a conversation I had, I think, earlier this week or last week with my child, because, you know, we were at home in the evening and she's like, my days are never perfect. There's always something bad that happens. And then I looked at her and I said, is somebody hurting you at school, or is this something I don't know about, you don't feel comfortable with certain parts of your life or whatever, something bothering you? I want to make sure first she's not in a threatening situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, no, it's not that. It's little things. And she gave me a couple of, like, silly little examples, you know, little kid stuff that they have a problem with. And I flat out sat her down, and I posted about this on Facebook, and I kept it because, like, after I finished, I said, I want to repeat this to her because I know it's going to happen again. She's going to bring it up again. So I saved it. But I broke down to her what I had gone through in that day. And I told her about how, you know, I woke up early, got her ready for school, brought her to school, came back, taught class, had to rewrite a 7-page paper because the teacher decided it wasn't exactly what she wanted. I had to completely redo it in 2 hours and turn it in. So a whole bunch of stuff had happened that day. You know, just a typical day of somebody who is a career woman in grad school raising a child. And I said, you know, but I said at the end of it, I didn't complain. And I broke down why. I said, because you have a great school. I have an amazing job. I love where I work at. I am so happy that I get to be in grad school. So every last one of these things that somebody else might complain about, I didn't complain about it. Because at the end of the day, I know that we are blessed.
Right.
And no matter where you are in life, you are blessed with something. And you can choose to focus on the struggle, or you can choose to focus on your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, it's about perspective at the end of the day. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I posted up once in a while on my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. There's this guy named Shane Coisen, I think is how you say his last name. Mm-hmm. And it was called Blueprint for a Breakthrough. It was a TEDx talk. And his whole theme was his, it was a long 20-minute poem. But the theme of it mm-hmm. was basically letting people know that that not having everything you want is the normal thing. People keep waiting for their life to get to a certain point. They keep waiting, keep waiting, keep waiting. Right. But when it gets this way, when it gets that way, I'll be happy.
No.
And they're never happy because they're constantly waiting for something that's never going to be. But the struggle is a part of life. Yes. It's natural.
But that's the beauty of life. But see, the thing is, we have to set the limits. And this is something that I've learned. I decide when I get off the merry-go-round or the rat mm-hmm. race. I'm not going to let that control me. Exactly. I decide. You know, our time on this level is limited. I do believe that mm-hmm. there's more after on a different level. But the beauty of it is knowing how limited it can be, but the unlimited possibilities within that time. But that yearning, oh, when I get that Bentley, I'm going to be okay. Oh. When I get that 8-bedroom mansion, I'm going to be okay. When I get this way, when my body's perfect, it's good. Mm-hmm. No, everything is not going to be perfect all the time. There's so many different variables. The trick is knowing what will make you happy directly mm-hmm. because there's too many people out here that are gauging their happiness according to somebody else's desires.
Oh,
because,
yes.
Yeah, and so the next person upgrades. Now I got to upgrade. I'm not running down somebody else's ideals or what they mm-hmm. do. I'm trying to downsize. I'm trying to get back to the core mm-hmm. being of who I am. I want to be able to leave my cell phone home and take a walk and just have $10 in my pocket and leave yep. for the day and just be a regular guy. You know what
you
I mean?
Know, and we've all had it where, you know, because I know I can see from personal experience, I've had certain people say, well, you know, at such and such age, you should be doing A, B, and C. You shouldn't be doing this, that, and the other. And I'm like, do I pay my bills on time? Is my child right. safe and provided for? And they're like, yeah. I said, all of her life, you can ask that child. She has never gone to bed hungry. Every night, she feels loved. She feels protected. At the end of the day, as long as that's not compromised, your opinion on any other part of my life is irrelevant. Bottom line. And that's really how you got to be, because I don't care what kind of phone I got. My phone has always been, I've never had an expensive phone. I refuse to get an expensive phone. So I know as soon as I get one, it's going to break. I just know that. But exactly. I also don't believe in wasting my money on things I ain't got to mm-hmm, waste money mm-hmm. for. Because people. Right now, I am sitting my little self in a hotel room. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful hotel room. And I am extremely comfortable.
Yeah. And you're enjoying yourself.
It was like my little getaway. And I'm loving it. I'm
exactly.
Loving it.
Exactly.
And if I was the type of person who was out there trying to buy brand name clothes all the time, expensive iPhones, I would not be in this hotel room because I'd be broke.
Listen, I brown bag it every day. My wife, of the two cars we have, she has the better car and it's kept mechanically perfect and stuff, and it's paid for. It's not old, mm-hmm. it's fairly recent, but yeah. I drive a 1996 Toyota Corolla with a big bash on the back headlight on the left side. I'm not fixing that thing. It works. I'm riding until the wheels come off. But I tell you one thing, you know, I invest where I want. And
exactly.
I wanted to upgrade my presentation and my capabilities on recording mm-hmm. calls and doing shows. So that's where it's at for me. I don't care if the next person who pulls up in the parking lot of my job who has a brand new luxury car, more power to you. I don't hate you for it. That is where your thing is, or you know, mm-hmm. that's cool, but I don't even try to figure that out. I'm cool. I put it out there. Look at this guy driving the car there, almost 20 mm-hmm. years old, and it rides good. I only have a 6-minute commute to work. So why would I want it?
Exactly.
Now, at my age, you know, a couple years from now when I retire, you know, we're going to get something nice to last us for the rest of our life. It ain't going to be switching around every 3 and 4 years. We're going to keep everything you have, keep it like it's your last. I just don't mm-hmm. understand the mentality. We can get all the cars that we want, but we only have one heart. You see, mm-hmm. we only have mm-hmm. one pancreas, a set of
kidneys.
And
you know what? And living happily is a big part of health. It really is.
Uh-huh.
If you living to keep up with whoever you call the Joneses in your life, your health is going to be hurt. I, you know, that is one of the definite things I believe in firmly. If you live, because people who I think live longer are the people who are living their passion, because your spirit is happy.
Well,
you know, it's that body, mind, spirit connection is very real. I think a lot of people kind of know it, but they don't really live it.
Yeah, because you know they're going to have to leave what's comfortable. The bliss that comes from ignorance, they're going to have to leave and go into the unknown, and they're going to have to admit that they were wrong all the whole time about the superficial way that this world puts out is the ideal of living, and you got to go back and start all over again. Just a little while ago, I was watching Smokey Robinson at the Apollo. 75 years old this man is. 76 he'll be in February. He's jumping around on stage singing all the songs, and he's singing his songs that he created and his legacy, and the world is appreciating him. People that weren't even born when the songs were made were singing it word for word. And that's the ultimate, to be appreciated for who you are. I don't have to try to be another version of somebody else. I just want to be the best Lance that I can be. And you're the
Nobody
best Jessica.
Nobody really knows that copycat.
That's right. That's right. And you build your name, and you own it, and people love you for it. There should be no other Jessica. When we say Jessica, that one name status, look, they say Arnold, they say Sylvester, they say Madonna. Yeah. Well, Jessica, you're supposed to be Jessica. I'm supposed to be Lance or Skurv or whatever it is. You know, be the best you can be. You can learn from other people. But like you said, that good health thing, that's where it's at. Because you know what?
Oh, yeah.
You can drive all the expensive cars you want to, but you can cut your life short and be miserable while you are living because you're not feeling right in the physical.
And then a lot of people say, you know, that they're trying to keep their connections with whoever is in their social circle. They're trying to keep up with them. But you know what? A lot of people don't realize. I hear people talking about all the time, their circle gets smaller, their circle gets smaller. The funny thing is, I'd love to see how often this actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
My circle went from big to small to big again.
Yes.
And it's still growing.
Yes.
But the difference is the circle that is there now, you know, and some of these people have been around since like a long, long time ago. So it wasn't like the past circle was completely done away with. There were certain people who endured, who needed to endure in my life.
Right.
But what I'm saying is the circle that I have now that is much larger than any previous circle that I ever had, it's some solid people. These are the people who... They don't care what kind of phone I got. They don't care what kind of car I'm driving.
Right.
That's not why they're there. And I think that has a lot to do with it. They say that you have to lose in order to gain.
True.
I'm a firm believer in that from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did go from having a larger circle that was a lot of dead weight and some good stuff in the middle that is still here. My primary circle who has endured.
Great.
But there was a lot of dead weight that needed to fall off.
Well, see,
and I lost all of that.
You salvaged what was good in your life, and you let it. There was a time I used to throw all kind of parties, and always, man, there were people around me just sucking me down. Mm-hmm. Money, energy, and none of them really liked me. They couldn't. Yes. The nicer I was, the more they could. Who does he think he is? Nah. So now the same thing has happened to me. In different circles, it shrunk and it grew.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like the core, it's like a gaseous matter that has a really dense core. Before, I had lots of people around me, but it was a big gaseous matter around me, but it was very thin and the core was small. Now I would say the core of quality people that are around me, it's a huge mass. And then somewhere out there, I guess it begins to dissipate, but I won't know because the fraudulent people are not even close to me or around me anymore. They can't even get close to me because the core of quality people are so dense. And those people are actively doing their thing to pursue their dreams. And I have to say, I've been blessed to have certain friends that I've known from single digit ages and still do. I mean, a good two handfuls of friends.
Yeah.
That we knew there. I knew their parents. They knew my parents. Our parents knew each other. A lot of them are deceased and gone. The neighborhood, the memories, and they know each other. It's not just me knowing each one of these 10 different friends. They all have their own memories from hanging out and growing up. So this really makes it a tight circle and a healthy thing. Even though we're all spread out all over the country, it's like we're so connected. We're so connected.
Yeah,
It's a beautiful thing, and that keeps you
Definitely.
living long when you have that. So your circles only get smaller when you have a sick system of I'm not gonna say socializing, but vibing with the world. New kids come into the world. It's like a grandmother who has grandchildren or great-grandchildren or children from the neighbor that come around. It keeps them alive. They might be 85 years old, but that kid says, "I'm graduating next June and this is Christmas now." So that person says, in their spirit, "I want to see this. I want to be there when you graduate." Now we can't go on forever, but reaching for stuff keeps you not focusing on the other stuff. When you reaching for constantly reaching, Smokey Robinson's 75 years old. There's some dudes I know that are 25 years old that don't even want to get up and take out the garbage or get the mail. This guy's on stage dancing and singing and doing his
Yes,
own
indeed.
thing. And the other thing is to look at life in the long haul. You have to. If you don't get results, first of all, if you're just going for money and you don't get it, your spirit is going to be crushed because you're not going to get any spiritual fuel and power from just the
Oh,
pursuit of
yes.
money. When you're pursuing something that resonates, look, I'm going to say it for myself, I'm going to say it for you. You know you got greatness inside of you. I know I got greatness inside of me. We all do, but many don't know it and don't realize it. We're not the reason, we're the reason why people put the butts in the seats to watch what we do or what we create. And that's not cocky because we dedicate so many hours to what we do and we believe in
Yes.
it. And we believe in it so strong that when you have a play or you have a movie come out, people come out to it because they know your thing is so strong and they depend on you. Tyler Perry, whether people agree with his art form or not, his vision is so strong that they still believe in him. They may hate Floyd Mayweather, but he's been winning. They still believe in him. He's been backing up his words. Thinking in the long haul, 49 and 0. So we got to think the same way. Look, I'm 52, 60 years old, I'm going to be better. 70, 80, I'm going to be better. Why do I say that? Because we have CEOs over companies who are better leaders in their companies at the age of 80 and 85 because they understand the passage of time, right? And they can think better because a young CEO who's 30 years old will say, "Well, we need to bail out." No, because look, this is what I'm seeing. You make better decisions, but you got to keep yourself healthy, not just in your body, but in your mind, and staying away from toxic people.
Absolutely. I mean, I can say this by comparing myself and some other people that I know that, like, okay, there's a whole cohort of people that I know that we're all the same age, and there's one defining factor between the people who are living their passion and the people who aren't. The people who are not living their passion look older than the rest of us by
Yes.
about 10 years. I'm not
Yes.
even kidding. Because we don't actually look the age that we are. We look a lot younger than that. And I've
Yes.
always actually looked younger than I am. And but the other ones that are like our age, they, oh my God, they
Yeah.
like, there's a couple of times that I would run into one of them and I would have to go look at myself in the mirror and say, was I looking at
I
myself and didn't see that I
know.
age? Wait, hold on. Let me check. Because they really looking
You're
bad.
so right. You're so right.
Like, they look way beyond their age. It's like,
But you
I know inside, oh, they must be getting sick.
Yeah,
Because,
because that makes you sick if you don't. After a while, you're
yes.
here. Look, you're here for your spirit to go higher. We're in these physical bodies, but you should be so full of enthusiasm. You've been on this earth. You should have learned from the lessons that you had to endure and know how to move about this terrain a lot smarter. Lots of us continue to make the same mistakes because we don't want to change our actions. You should know how to navigate this thing, and in doing that, life becomes easier. Yes, some hard things will come our way that break our hearts, that knock us down. But for the simple things, of keeping yourself up physically, mentally, and spiritually, it shouldn't be a chore. I wake up every single day with crazy mad enthusiasm to do something. No, no, serious. I got a happy problem, and it's not a problem. No,
No, I
serious.
love that
Yeah,
because
I got.
like it's really it goes back to perspective because if your perspective is right, like, cause bad things are gonna happen. There's gonna be stumbling blocks. No matter who you are,
Yes.
that's gonna be without fail. You're gonna trip over something in your life.
Right.
But when your perspective is right, you don't see these hindrances as a reason to stop. You don't see it as a reason to give up. You may stress on it for a little while because we're naturally going to stress at some point, but you're not going to let it hold you back for longer than a certain time period. Like, you are going to persevere because if your perspective is on the right focus. Because people do get disheartened. Some people get disheartened as soon as a roadblock comes up. Like, oh, I was making progress. I shouldn't be regressing. Mm. What is going to happen, man? And people just, I think that's another issue. I think a lot of people that end up giving up, it's because their perspective was wrong. They thought it was supposed to be easy as soon as they got their foot on the path. That's not what happens. Stuff is still going to fall down. You're going to have a couple of rocks in the way. You're going to have to learn how to trip, get back up, and keep it moving.
Exactly. But wow. When you're a winner and that roadblock comes, something activates. And I'm like, this ain't stopping me. This is not stopping me. All right, you want to get in my way? I'm getting mine anyway. I got to fight me with this thing. If there's something I want to do, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
You bet your bottom dollar.
You know what? A lot of people didn't realize that this year has been a rough year.
Mm-hmm.
And people on the outside didn't even know the half of it.
Right.
I mean, I have had a lot of personal loss this year, whether it was from death. I had a couple of huge challenges over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother passed away, who was like a huge center to my strength.
Yes.
And that was really, really hard to deal with. A very close friend of mine who, a young mother, and when she passed away, she left her three children and her husband behind. It was a very unexpected death. Yes. Like, it wasn't something that she didn't have no disease or nothing.
Right.
It was a medicine complication thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that happened in February. My grandmother passed away in May. I dealt with a whole bunch of other issues that went down in the summer that nobody knew about.
Right, right.
And I ain't gonna lie to you. Mm-hmm. I cried a couple of times during the summer. I was facing my first real life challenge without my grandmother there to talk to.
Yes.
And I could have given up. But even in the midst of tears falling down my face, knowing that I had this huge pressure on my back, and literally it lasted the entire summer. This was probably the worst summer I've had in a long time.
Yes. Yes.
In the midst of it, while I was crying and breaking down, I still was like, you're going to get through it. It is going to pass. It is going to pass. And I had to keep reminding myself, you know how to get through it. Remember what's going to be on the other side. I kept having to tell myself that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't easy.
Right.
This was hard. I mean, I literally, like, I know you probably didn't even notice it. Because I didn't really share it with the world.
Yeah. To me, like, you know, if I pass through your page and, you know, look at, you know, I did remember seeing about, you know, the young lady with the three kids and stuff like that. I remember seeing something.
Was that again?
When you took the loss of your friend who left three kids behind, I think you posted something up about that.
The one who passed away?
Yeah, didn't you say just now someone had passed away and left three kids behind? Yeah, I think you shared something along those lines.
Yeah, that one I shared. I didn't share about the other issue.
Not the other issue, but that one. And that alone, you know, like even for myself, and again, I hate to keep referring back to my age, but I'm at that age now. There are a lot of friends of mine who didn't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And they're dropping. And it hurts because it's like, wow, I'm in that age group. You know, but I don't even think about that because I keep my enthusiasm up. And with yourself, the loss of your grandmother had to really be a blow. But this is what I've learned from experience. All of the talks and all the time spent with her, you're going to realize it's inside of you. See? And I remember when I lost my father, and 4 years later, I lost my mother. 1990, November, I lost my father. April of 94, I lost my mother. And I had to continue doing the things that would keep me afloat. And I noticed even sometimes I found myself executing things like my mother and father, things that they put inside of me. So it doesn't even matter the age. A loss is a loss.
Oh, yeah. Especially when it's somebody that's real crucial to your development, you know?
Exactly. I lost my father when I was 27 years old and lost my mother when I was 31. And some people have their people until they're 60 and 70. And but it's not even a time thing. It's a depth thing. You know, because some people have a living parent or parents and they're not close to them. So for the people that you're close to, whether or not it's a physical person in your bloodline or just somebody emotional like that, where you're connected to them, a loss is a loss, but you got to realize that all the time you spent there inside of you, you've embraced them. Where the next level that they're on, they love you. Love goes beyond the transition. If they say God is love, and God is everywhere, and God is the most powerful, and God is love, then love transcends all, and you have to trust in that. It's just a
Oh
matter,
yeah, I
yeah.
definitely believe
Oh,
that
yeah.
because she ended up popping up in the dream a couple of times.
There you go.
And in one particular dream, I was in a room where I was being interviewed by journalists, and she was in the room sitting next to me. And you know, it wasn't a bad reason to be interviewed. It was like apparently I was the person that was speaking to these people. I don't know why. I don't know what was the, I don't really know what the whole situation was. I just know that I was answering these questions. And as I was answering the questions, I would look back at her and she would nod and she would smile at me. And when I woke up, I said, "She's with me. She's letting me know."
And that's a good thing. I mean, you were being interviewed, so it had to be something positive, and then she was there with you and smiling. There you go.
So that was a big part of, like, that was toward the end of the summer that I ended up having that dream. And so it reminds me that she wasn't there. Because, like, another thing about my grandma, one of the things that I will never forget about her is, and this is one of the things that I had on my mind as I was going through the summer, was my grandmother had eight girls and one boy. And our grandfather passed away when the youngest one was 3 years old. And my grandmother was you know, they weren't prepared because they were young, you know. They were still in their early 40s.
Wow.
And so she had to pick up as a single mother and didn't anticipate that, you know. She still figured they had God only knows how many years left together. And she faced that, and it hit me as I was going through that struggle. I never really thought about how much that must have hurt her.
Yes.
The
Oh God.
emotional strain that she must have been going through
Yeah. Oh
for so
God.
many years, you know? And I don't think I had ever really understood it. And when I realized that, I said, oh my God, if she can get through that, this is nothing. Even though this would be hard maybe to some people what I was going through, that was nothing compared to what she went through.
Yeah. And just you knowing that helped to alleviate a lot of the stuff that was on you. When you and see, you're not gonna know when you were younger. You have to get to a
No.
certain point in life for you to really like say, okay, I wonder what this was, because you come out of yourself more when you're older. And then you look at the elders in your life and you say, well, they were that age when that happened. You start to compare, and now that you have life experience, it's like, oh, you look at things a whole lot different now.
Oh, yeah.
You see? And you could appreciate what they had to go through, and you say, wow, they really were strong people, and the wisdom that they gave me was dead on and was right. And that's how it was. Look, when we're young, sometimes we don't even listen to our elders because we know it all. We think we know it all. Not that I'm saying that that was the case with you, but just in general. And then when we go out and step out there in life and let life happen, paying bills and dealing with things and juggling stuff and tired and saying, oh God, now you realize how challenging it was and how the elders mastered their existence and they made it look easy, you know? And you have to go and dig within yourself and you go for the wisdom. You don't go for the foolishness anymore. You know, you go for what's real that you can use and you see everything completely different. This is why I'd rather stay home. I like to go out and do different things, but I'm just saying the way I live, which I tell my wife, if I was single, I would be living the same way. I would be living the same exact way. I have nothing, no time to waste. I am blessed and happily scared that I made it over 50 years old. You know what I mean? That's a milestone for me. Well, I'm not caught up in the number, but just that I made it this far. I'm not trying to push fate.
Oh no,
You know, find me up in
not at
some
all.
hotel room somewhere and shot up somewhere doing something I shouldn't be doing. And, you know, oh, he didn't know that girl was married. He was messing with. Nah. You know, oh no.
You know what? This is the thing though. You know, because people ask me why I don't go out more, and I've gotten to the point where I start breaking down like stuff that I do in the arts, the creative stuff. I don't want to go out to a bar and have drinks all the time. I go like a couple times a year.
Right.
But that's not as much fun as hanging out at a rehearsal with actors and creative people and putting together this project, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It can't even compare.
It's me you're talking to. You got to know I know that, you know? Even though it's a whole different thing. But
I don't think they get it, though, whenever they're telling me that. They're like, oh, you should go out more. Or they'll hit me up and say, girl, we're going to such and such party. And I'm like, okay, y'all have fun. They're like, you don't want to come? No, not really. I'm tired.
Right.
Why are you tired? I had rehearsal all day. I was cutting up all day.
Right. And see, me talking to you now, it's like sharpening the sword. We recorded two little short snippets, and then we had this long cut, which I did record this one too, you know. So
if I was wondering if you were going to, because I had mentioned it earlier. I said, I wonder if you press record at some point.
Well, I did. I was watching to see if you were going to say it. I should have let you know, but we were flowing, so I was like, okay, if there's anything that has to be cut out, I'll cut it out, or you'll tell me. But we got 40 minutes of it on, you know. So it's like, this is some good stuff. You got me hyped, you know, because look, you know, you're exceptional. And I think I'm doing all right, but
You're pretty exceptional too. You gotta you go ahead and brag on yourself. And I'm hoping that because you recorded so much of this, I'm really what I really hope is that there is somebody out there who wants to do something, but is worried about somebody else judging them, and is saying maybe I shouldn't push and such. They might say this, they might say that. I'm hoping that they hear this,
yes,
and that they recognize. Because it's not just me and you, because you are connected with a bunch of people who are also living their passion.
Yes.
I'm connected. The only reason why I'm able to produce the things that I'm able to produce is because I'm connected with people who are also living their passion.
That's right.
And I'm hoping that somebody listening will get inspired and say, you know what? I have always wanted to do sculpture, or I have always wanted to take dance classes. You know what, baby? Go do it.
Do it.
Because you only living for you.
That's right. And the joy that comes out of it, the people you will meet, the satisfaction that comes out of it, and being able to be by yourself when the time comes, when you're in solitude and you just, you can face yourself. You will be so fulfilled already and totally independent. And it's a healing thing when you pursue your passions. We have a lot of people out here who they get into the whole codependency on a dysfunctional level. But if you had your own passion, that's independent of a dysfunctional relationship. You'll have more esteem, because when the world appreciates you for what you do, some knucklehead can't get you in a relationship and tell you you're no good. You see what I mean? So there's a lot of...
And then you'll find that when you're living your passion, like I mentioned earlier, when you're living your passion, the people who come into your life, the only ones who are going to stay are the ones who appreciate you for that. You're going to be drawn to people like you who are also pursuing their passion and their happiness.
And once that ball is rolling, you're unstoppable, and it's a healthy kind of unstoppable. And there'll be no, you'll be so humble too, because you can't get arrogant when you're really doing your thing sincerely.
No, you're too happy to be doing it, you know?
So
it's not even an arrogance, because you're not in competition with nobody.
Right. So when I meet people who are in the creative field, more so when I was living in New York City, because you have, it's like an epicenter with so many, maybe, famous people that are well-known and people that are not so famous that are doing things, and the ones who are really about the love of their craft, they are so humble. They might have all the fame in the world, but they are so humble. And I have to say this one little thing about, and I'm going to wrap it up soon because I got to do that show soon and I got to get things ready. No, but I'm loving this. You know, we got a vibe on this on more levels and whatnot, you know? But I did a video about Nick Ashford from Ashford and Simpson when he passed away. And there was a gentleman who reached out to me, Michael, I'm not going to put his last name out, but he was in tears on what I said about Nick Ashford, because he met him in passing many years before, and just by Central Park, I believe it was, in New York City, and they hung out for a little while, and Nick Ashford, they ate together, hung out. He's like, I just bumped into this guy on the street, and he's just cool with me like that. He talked to me about the spirit of the man and the things he said. And it wasn't staged. It wasn't a microphone put up under his mouth. But the way he was, and he cried because of that, because he was so touched. And it made him look at life so different. So this man had such a bright star in that world of entertainment. But he was such a down-to-earth, humble, centered individual. And yes, probably we can dig up something from when he was younger that he did and wasn't so good.
Oh,
we all can do that, but we're all evolving. We're all moving towards something higher. We're all, you know, it's like the sperm and the egg. We're all sperm again, going to that righteous ideal of an egg. So are you going to stop swimming? Or are you going to keep on going? And sure, it could be a hostile environment in this world, but you keep your eyes set on your goal. Sometimes you're going to get distracted and put way off course. It doesn't mean your goal doesn't exist. Sometimes you're going to get hit with something, an obstacle right there. Keep that in your heart. Sometimes you got to wait 5, 10, 15 years before you can run again toward the goal. We have kids. We have setbacks. We have divorces. We have bankruptcies. We have physical illnesses. But keep that thing going, because that's the thing that's going to keep you alive, the pursuit of excellence and your goal.
And when you mentioned the thing about people doing crazy things whenever they were younger or whatever else, you know, everybody does things that are not flawless and perfect.
Right.
And just because somebody else wants to hold something you did against you does not mean that you have to continue living in the past. Because if you are constantly thinking about, well, I was known for doing such and such, how can I possibly reinvent myself? Mm-hmm. It's very easy to reinvent yourself. You start right now in this exact moment, and you decide what you're going to be, and you just do that. You don't have to worry about what anybody else has to think or say about it. You do what you need to do to improve and be happy, because everybody who is touched by you in your life will benefit, including the person who got all kinds of things to say about you.
Make sure to check out The Boldest Blog at LanceScurve.com and follow Scurve on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube under Lance Scurve.